nice to start with a laugh instead of crying. But let's just bow for a quick word again. I need the Lord to speak to me. Father God, I pray that your words will be shared today and your love will be shared today. And what you've touched in my life and how you have literally changed me in every aspect of my life. I'm never perfect yet. I'm not perfect. In many ways, I'm still with a lot of faults. It's countless faults, actually. But it is your forgiveness has shed, your blood has shed for me, forgiven me. And that I stand here today, and I pray that I will be able to express how wonderful you are as much as I can. May your word speak today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I was jokingly last night, we were saying, oh, you know, perhaps the sermon today would be all of you just bow your head and pray for me, and that'll be the sermon, because I'm a nervous wreck. But this is a, here we go. I just want to share with you my experience of God, and perhaps you all would experience God in different ways. And I want to share my experience with you. It's my testimony. As I mentioned in prayer, I am nowhere even close to perfection in any way. And we all know that, because there's no one perfect except Christ. We all know that. We have many, many faults, and I fail miserably all the time. But as I share later on with a verse, that God is so amazing that he would redeem a wretched soul like mine and make me who I am. And he's still refining me. It's like a potter making, creating. And he still hasn't finished yet. And I look forward to one day when I'm in heaven to see him and just get his feedback. What do these words mean to me before I met God? Purpose, love, sacrifice, forgiveness, redeem, eternal, liberate, faith, hope, reliance, submission, and obedience. Not a whole lot, to be honest. Perhaps some understanding from my parents as love and obedience as much as I can. But I wasn't a very obedient child. I'll share with that later. So not a whole lot. He had a plan at the beginning. And this is my sharing. But I want to ask you, do you believe that your life was made with a purpose? Do you really believe that? You do, yeah. Some of I'm sure you all do, but just that some are more vocal than others. Yes. Wait, you know what? Yes, please speak. How about we have an interaction? Do you believe that God made you for a purpose?
Yes.
Amen for that. There is a purpose. And if you don't know that God made you for a purpose, it's time you find out. In Psalms 139, 13, 14 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mom's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So when my mom was pregnant with me, God was doing his magic within that. And he created me, and there is a purpose, and I was wonderfully made for a reason. At the beginning, so I'll share with you a bit about my background. I was born in Vietnam. I was born a family of seven children. I am the oldest son. Actually, there was eight of us. There was a sister earlier than I, she was born prior to me. But I think before I was born, she had died from complication and some illness. So. My mom said that, she really missed the third daughter. My sisters, I have two older sisters, and that sister of mine, I actually don't know the name. That's a good question. Why don't I know the name? It's just, oh gosh, that's, yeah, now I better make a call. But, you know, she said that she missed her daughter so much that when I was born, I looked like my sister. And I was like, oh wow, really? But I was born as a fourth, and I was the oldest son. And so I have seven of us. And my grandparents are from China. They went to Vietnam during the war. His brother, my grandfather's brother, went to Hong Kong, and he decided to go to Vietnam. And he started a Chinese herbal medicine store. And so he's a Chinese doctor. And, you know, we raised a big family. There's nine children. He has nine children. And one of them is my father's the oldest son. And so my father got married, and he had us, seven children. And it was a big family. We have a very large family. And my father was, I think he served in the army for a short while. He was a driver. He wasn't out in the front line or anything. But my mother, she's very much an entrepreneur, smart lady, and very hardworking. She was actually the anchor of the family. She literally provides for the family. My dad was, I think he drove different, like it's like a, sort of like a taxi. But if you see in Thailand, there's like a three-wheeler, you know, that we call them. So tut-tut, something like that. Dad drove that for a little while after he came back from the army. He never really got into the Chinese herbal medicine my grandfather had started. But he later on took over the business later on. But my mom, she was very much an entrepreneur. We ended up having a hardware hardware store. And she would work very, very hard, and providing for family. So not a lot of time to raise the children. They're left to be on their own and do their own thing and so forth. So, but how in the world did I come to Canada? Well, as you know, in 1969, there was a Vietnam War, and in 75 it ended. And during the war, a lot of people were trying to flee the country. I mean, it's not a great place to be. So everyone, as much as they can, try to leave, and many paid dearly with their lives, not making it. And in 1979, it's amazing how God, of course I didn't know all this until in retrospect, right, in hindsight, looking back. My aunt and her family of four, they had, because it cost money to pay for a seat on the boat, which you had to, you know, you're escaping the country illegally. So we're the refugees. And so my aunt and her husband and her two children, I think it cost something like about 8 ounces of gold for an adult and 4 ounces for the child. And our family didn't have any money, definitely not enough for seven of us, let alone just, you know, not one, let alone seven, sorry. So I was actually, they didn't pay for me. So my aunt said to my mom, hey, you want one of your child to try to go with us? And my mom said, well, we don't have any money. My aunt says, well, won't you try our luck and try to bring him along and see whether they'll let him on, and if it doesn't, then if they don't, then he'll just head back home. So my grandma went with us in case if I couldn't get on, then she'd take me home. So I think we left, you know, wee night, probably 3 a.m. or something like that, and took one of those, took whatever, middle of the night, heading to somewhere quite far. And then we stayed there overnight, and then the next night we got on to the the boat, and it was a madhouse getting on there. And so the captain, who rightfully know who's paying, who's not, and it was just so much confusion, he just didn't bother, and so I got on the boat without having paid a dime. So, and then, so we all took off, and the boat left at some like 5 or 4 a.m. or something like that, and as soon as we got out to the deep waters, it was really, really bad. The waves are hitting really hard, and we're all on the tram in a small boat, you can imagine, and the waves are just knocking us, and the captain literally said, oh, you know, 5 people go to the right to balance off the boat, 2 back to the left to try to balance, and the water, the boat was taking in water. It was leaking, and so it was sinking at the same time, and the waves are knocking us, and, you know, we haven't made past some of the islands in Vietnam, so we actually made it to one of the islands. Then they, you know, the captain had money, I guess, from collecting everybody's gold, and he bought a new boat, and we all got onto that one, and then on away we go. And we continue, and we were in the sea for 5 days or so, about there, and we were robbed 5 times by pirates, Thailand pirates. And every time the first one came, robbed, and robbed us, and they basically cleaned a lot. But the fifth one, you know, they hardly can get anything because we've been cleaned out pretty bad. And they felt sad for us. They gave us a big salty fish, if you know what that is. In Hong Kong, we have salty fish. It really smells, but tastes yummy. Sounds weird, but it does. And so, you know, they gave us a big fish, salted, and we made congee, and that's how, you know, 5 days, we're running out of food. And so we made it to Malaysia. We're supposed to go to Hong Kong, I think, but we end up being Malaysia. Somehow, we didn't make it to Hong Kong. And then the Malaysian government wouldn't let us in. They said, you know, go back. You know, of course, right? There's a lot of refugees in that area. So the captain decided to get a few people, dive into the water and puncture our own hole. This time we had to deliberately sink our own ship, because they said, well, if you want us to go, you have to give us a new ship. And of course, they didn't have a new ship to give us, so they unreluctantly took us in. And we stayed there for 6 months, waiting for our country to accept us. And we, you know, they gave us like, sardines, a lot of sardines. We ate a lot of canned sardines. Ever since I left Malaysia, I was really scared of eating sardines. You know, it's like seeing sardines is like my worst nightmare. But now I love sardines because I miss it so much. But yeah, it's you know, it was a tough period, the 6 months living there. You know, and I can go more detail when I have an opportunity to speak with you if you want to know more. It's very difficult at that time. And so the first time I almost died was the boat about to sink, right? The second time I almost died was when I was walking on the beach in Malaysia, and I was by myself, and I can't swim. And there's a big wave that comes in, and I was walking in the water, and somehow I must have stepped on a trench, and the water just carried me out. And I was by myself, I couldn't swim. And somehow I made it up, you know. And I made it to shore. And that was the second time I physically almost died. And I'll tell you the third time I almost died. And how later on in Vancouver. So there was a group of it was a one fellowship. It was about 9 people. And there's a couple of couples in there. And they band together, and they decided to sponsor a family, and that was us. And we went to Vancouver. My uncle tried to arrange with one of the church and connect with the church, and so we came across this fellowship. And they very young people. I mean, I think there's probably, you know, maybe mid late 20s or early 30s or something like that, and they decided to sponsor a family. So we went to Vancouver, I went to Malaysia, or talked about Malaysia. Now Vancouver. So we made it to Vancouver, and they took us in. They got a house ready for us, fridge full of food, and we settled into the house. And they had to financially commit to make sure that if we are unable to find a job, my aunt and uncle can't find a job, they have to financially support us for at least a year. That was a deal from the government, probably letting refugees coming in. So after a couple months, my aunt and uncle did find a job, and so they don't need to support us anymore. We're able to supply our own food after that. But you know, amazing how just a group of people, of believers, who decided to do something for a family who they have no connection with, that don't know anything about, and they offered to do that. And that's how I made it to Vancouver. And from there, I went to a local church. It was a Chinese church because my aunt and uncle didn't speak English very well. So we ended up in a Chinese church. And I think it was grade I'm losing my train of thought now. So I'll get back to that in a second. I just want to share the verse from Ephesians 1, 3, 5, and 6, 3 to 5. Praise to be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms and every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he has chosen us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, according to his pleasure and will. So this is a part where I came to know God. I went to church, and a saved sinner. He in grade six, I attended church, and one of my Sunday school teachers asked me about, you know, do you believe in God, and do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and so forth. And as I listened to him and I through the Sunday school, and I realized that what God has done for me in 1 John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his son, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Often we forget about the verse 17. He sent his Son, which was prayed earlier. And so I recognize what God has done in using his Son to save us. And in grade 6, I accepted Christ, and I was baptized in the Grace Mennonite Church. And there I remember I wanted to be a pastor when I grow up. And purely because I thought, you know, what amazing thing God has done. And I think he can use me in this way. But, you know, of course, realize that that's not my calling. By all means, that's not my calling at this moment, for sure. So, but you know, after I accepted Christ, and not long after that, my aunt she went through a divorce, and I went with my aunt. I lived with my aunt and her two son. And so she didn't go to church after that. I know she loves God in some ways, but she can't reconcile certain things, so she doesn't go to church anymore. And I end up staying with my aunt, and she's my guardian, and so I didn't go to church, and I didn't have fellowship with anybody. And so I started walking my own path, and it all went downhill from there. Uh, I hung out with friends who don't know God. I mean, I went through high school, started working, and so forth. And then after school, went to work, and hang out with a lot of different friends who don't know God. Okay, and I started smoking. When I was in grade 8. Any young kids here? I don't want them there. I started smoking. When I was in grade 8. You know, I continue until 1997. I'll share that a little later. I went partying, you know, 3 times a week, you know, and just live a life that wasn't honoring to God at all, and just lost, no direction whatsoever, have no idea. And so this went on, and I was quite miserable. If you ask me, if for the ones who know me today, you may think, oh, you know, Tom seems to be, at least I think so, tell me if I'm wrong, he seems to be a nice guy, he's, you know, mild manner, not aggressive. Oh, you didn't know me before. Man, before I recommitted my life to God, I was the most miserable person, the most negative person you can think. Have you ever met anyone who's negative? Like, really negative? That was me. I'd say out of 10 words, you probably get 8 words of profanity in there. Okay. Terrible. Everyone owes me, you know, the world owes me. I am the victim, it seems like. You couldn't imagine. And so one of the friends who I've known for a long time, since high school, a lot of my friends from high school who I used to hang out with, and he said to me, when I met him in Hong Kong, when I first arrived in Hong Kong, I bumped into him, and he says, you know, Tom, you're like 180 degrees. You're so different. And I said, really? Yes, you're different. And why is that? The prodigal son, he never left me. He's been there waiting for me. In Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you. For God, Lord, you have never forsaken those who seek you. I seeked him in grade 6. I accepted him. And you know what? He never left me. Even though I felt that he was not even close, he's always been there. And I remember probably 1996, when I was the worst part of my life. I mean, I was debt up to beyond my head. I spent a life of not caring of what my future holds. I live for the moment, and thinking it's great, but actually, it was miserable. Everything, it was miserable. I mean, I hated my job. I didn't enjoy it. After I joined the time out with my friends and so forth, time home is very empty. I don't feel any joy whatsoever. And bills just kept coming, and paying the minimum on the credit cards. It was a miserable life. It's crazy. I remember it. And not just that, I felt like there's no love in me, you know. So I remember praying, and I said to God, is life more than this? I remember a life used to be much different. What is it? So what happened? So God knew what I needed, you know. And this is a continued amazing thing how he's done. I was in a job that I was about to get fired because I wasn't very good at it. Honestly, I wasn't very good at it. I can make all the excuses. It's not my fault. All that. I was just terrible at it. And of course, when you're partying all the night before, you're going to work, you're not very sharp at all, are you? So hence, terrible at it. And I was about to give a pink notice until I basically my branch manager said, look, Tom, I think you need to start looking for other positions. So he wants to pass the bad Tom to another branch. And that's really nice of him, passing it to someone else. But he said to me, you better start looking for other jobs. And so I started looking at you and then didn't apply for it, didn't want it. And he says, well, you know, time's ticking, and if you don't, you don't have another job, you know, I'm gonna have to let you go. So I saw a posting, and I didn't want to go there, didn't want to do it, but you know, I had to do something. And lo and behold, I applied, and they actually accepted me, and I went to Oak Ridge branch at Royal Bank. And then my first day, went to report to my assistant manager, sat down, and he's introducing me to various different people, and he introduced me to Esther. And so over a few days of interaction with different people at the branch, I noticed Esther is very different from the other girl. You know, I was at a branch with full of girls. Was I the only man there? Except for my manager? Yeah. Full of girls. And I noticed she's very different from the other girls. The other girls are, you know, you go to clubs and you see them. You know, these are the ones who hang out, enjoy life, just what I used to do. And so I started talking to her, and during breaks I'd go up and sometimes we have breaks together, and just we're chatting, and we got to know each other. And I asked her, do you go to church? She goes, yes. Or do you believe in God? Yes. You're a Christian? Yes. And so, tons of questions came out. I loaded the questions like, if God was so great, why did he let babies die? Would they go to heaven? If you know, all these unjust, you know, you think about things that are very unjust, you would lay it out and you ask God. I asked her about it and blaming God for it. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit was with her, and she's able to answer the question that I felt at peace at. So she introduced me to her friend, and I went to her church, her friend's church. And so I slowly started recommitting my life to God. And wow, what an amazing thing happened. And it's 180 degrees. It's like my friend said, 180 degrees. My life has never been the same. And you know, God never left me. And he sent his servant, Esther, to share it, just the way she is, share it about God's love. And so after a while, we spent a few months of church, and then we started dating, and so we got married in 2000. Okay. And I remember very clearly, and it's still, I don't need to watch a video, my marriage video, to see it. And I shared with the worship team earlier, I said, when it happens, I'll get nervous then. You know, I'm a very delayed person. So people sometimes would ask me about, are you nervous of getting married and so forth? I said, no, not really. I'm just trying to plan the wedding, because Esther was here in Hong Kong at that time, and I was planning the wedding. And when I stood in church, and as she was walking down, oh man, the tears just, maybe we'll show you a video one day, a wedding video. I was bawling. I mean, man, I was a wreck. And not in fear, but in love. And I couldn't believe that I can stand here being married or getting married to a wonderful wife that God has blessed me with. And I remember during dinner on our banquet, I stood in front of the our guests, and I said, you know, part of our speech, and there's some of the guests are from all different places, my family, my family's friends, and my grandparents' friends, and so forth. Half of the people were believers, and half were not. And as my testimony and share to the people at our wedding, I said, you know, I will learn to love my wife just as Christ loved the church. And it's still today. And it will always be. Thank you for listening to God, Esther. It's amazing. The God we serve, He will never forsake you. You just need to look for Him. Don't ever forget. A wretched person like me can be saved. We all can be. First John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is a promise. You know, actually, I'd like to read to you in the whole of 1 John from 5 to... This is critical. This is a part that will change your life. Light and darkness, sin and forgiveness is the heading. This is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in light there is no darkness at all. If we proclaim we have fellowship in Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out of truth. If we walk in the light, and He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And hence the verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. I encourage you to ponder on that. Go home and think about it and pray. God's word is so powerful. I've only shared a few verses with you, but when you dwell in His word, He will change you in every aspect of your life. It doesn't matter what you do in life. Whether you are, you know, I love this song, Michael W. Smith. I shared this with the men. Do everything. Do everything for God. Because it doesn't matter whether you're doing mergers and acquisitions, or if you're cleaning house, or you're an assembly line working through this assembly. And I'll share a little bit later. Actually, I would do it now. We went on Friday from the company, our team. One of the team building we did was we decided to go to it's Food Angel. Have you heard of this organization, Food Angel? Basically, they just take food from various different organizations which they partner with the food that's not spoiled yet, and then they would cook it and put in lunch boxes and give it to these people in Hong Kong. And a lot of them are old people who can't afford food. And so we decided to have a team function, a team building, instead of going and finding a consultant to do all various different activities and try to build rapport with the team, decided to go and do this as a team. So we spent 2.5 hours cutting the veggie, then packing the food, and we had to do 1,200 food boxes. And it was like basically really quick, you know. And it was rewarding, you know, and I'm hoping that for the team function, we're going to be doing more of this. And so I was thinking, you know, some people do assembly work every day. They probably don't like the job. It's very difficult to do these jobs, I'm sure. But in everything, do for the glory of God, and you experience Him no matter what job you're doing. And in, like I said, it could be cleaning houses or whatever it may be. So I skipped to Hong Kong, and we came in 2000, and I didn't have a job yet. Esther was working here, and I was applying for various different jobs. I took a month of trying to figure out what Hong Kong's like and so forth. Never thought I would work in Hong Kong, seriously. Never thought I would leave Vancouver, never mind coming to Hong Kong to work. And so I came to Hong Kong, looked for a job, didn't find anything for a while. And then there was a job opportunity to open up and with AXA. I joined them in 2000 in November. And I worked in the Hong Kong operation for a few years. And you know, this is how God would honor you if you honor Him. You know, I was in a job that I really struggled. It was very difficult. I was, you know, doing things that I was actually selling insurance to the local market. And I don't speak the language very well. It was very difficult. But God provided various different people to help me to understand how it works and so forth. And I struggled, but I managed for over time and picked up the skills and so forth. And the department, I didn't agree with some of the things that's going on there, so I decided, okay, this is not where I want to be. So I started applying for different jobs in different companies, and out of my own will, of course, nothing came about. And then I said to Esther, I want to quit my job. You know, what do you think? Esther, at that time, Esther was working for DBSCC and she was teaching there, and we had Elizabeth. She's already two years old already at that time. And we're thinking, okay, well, honey, if I quit my job, I'm not sure if I'm going to find anything. We're going to align your salary. And she said, yeah, you know, if God give us peace about it, go ahead. So before I decided to quit, I was I'm pretty much writing up my resignation letter. And then there was a job posting in the regional office. And so I said to Esther, well, should I apply? Yeah. So I applied. And I got the job. And then, so I started the job. I have no idea how to do this job. That was the first day I joined. The second day on the regional office, I had to go to Malaysia, set up a bank assurance. And I was running, there was a team of, we had to set up a brand new company. There's a team of about four or five people. Various different people working different work stream. I was one of the bank assurance work stream. I had no idea what I was doing. And I got the job. Whoa. And so, but you know, God provides, because people around me, they all have experience. And they came, and I said, oh, I don't know how to do this. What do you think? Oh, then they started showing me. You know, God surrounded me with people with skills that helped me. I was like, I can't believe this, you know, it's amazing. And a few months later, I was traveling to Malaysia a lot, and I was there for 6 months. Esther, remember, 9 months, but it was really only 6 months, just because I was traveling so much. You know, but a few months later, Esther, because Elizabeth was quite young still, and Esther said, you know, I'm thinking of wanting to spend more time with Elizabeth, because it's working late hours all the time. It's not helping, you know, with her development. So I said, okay, let's pray about it. And she quit her job. From what I was relying on her salary, now she's relying on my salary. And I still don't know what I'm doing. Whoa, it is getting pretty scary, you know, in many ways. But you know what? He provided. And over time, I picked up the skills, I guess, and still draw a salary. And so ever since then, she's able to spend time at home, and which is a big sacrifice for her because she loves her job. And she loves teaching. But, you know, for the sake of our children, we decided to do that. And we just had to scale back on our, you know, don't live a very... We never lived a very, you know, extravagant life. We're very simple. So, you know, we manage with one salary. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You know, this has become our verse for our family ever since I came to Hong Kong. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, in everything. Submit to him. And I'll end later on with this part. And so, then I worked in AXA for 9 years afterwards, and then there was an opportunity, and through AXA, trust me, it wasn't smooth sailing. It was a lot of ups and downs still. And every time I try to get out of the situation and I apply for a job, didn't work. Couldn't make it. No job. So then an opportunity came with HSBC to join the high net worth business, and it just came upon. I didn't look for a job. At the last point of my job at AXA, I really enjoyed what I was doing. And I thought this is it. Probably is where I wanted to remain for a good while. And I wasn't looking for a job. And so this option came with HSBC, and we prayed about it. And we had various different conditions that we asked, and we prayed, and, you know, Lord, is this where you want us to be? And so he I started with HSBC. It's basically the same time as James started here at DBICC. So we have the same anniversary in terms of working with a company. And so we worked there for almost 4 years. And then there was a crossroad again. And we're wondering whether, you know, if God's leading us home back to Vancouver last year. We're thinking about it, and we've been praying about it, because people kept asking us every time we visit. They'll say, are you coming back anytime soon? And we said, not in the moment, because I don't think God's called us home yet. So we've been praying about it, and then the opportunity came to a lot of changes in the HSBC, and I said to Esther, honey, I think I want to quit my job. There's no job. It was an opportunity where I was trying to work out an opportunity with another company, but there was no job. And we prayed. And this is not my personality. I've never not worked, you know. I've always worked. And so, you know, God said, be still and to hear him. And so I decided, after a lot of praying, and I quit my job. Went on holidays, went back to Vancouver, came back, still had no job. So you see, Chris and I spent a lot of time having breakfast together. But you know, that was the most peaceful time in my life that I can imagine. I had 3 months of no work, and the cash was burning in my account. Our account, sorry. It's joint account. Everything ours is joint. And God, if God had intended for us to go home, this deal wouldn't happen. And so, you know, I wanted to, my time's running out. I want to end, but I'll share with you later on if you have an opportunity to talk to me. how he made this possible with the job with Generali. I mean, it was a miracle in itself. I actually approached them and talked to them about the opportunity. And some of you might have heard the opportunity, but I'll share a little more detail. And God provided. And you know, he made it clear that he wants us here for another how many years, we don't know. But there was a purpose. You know, everyone, we're all called to do something. We may not be called to be pastors of a church. We may not be called to be missionaries, a full-time ministry. But one thing we're all called to do for sure, that's a great commission, is to share the love of Christ to others. That's for one thing for sure. We all share that in common. But we're all, one of us might be called, like all of us are called to different jobs, like being a pilot, having an income, that you support God's work in tithes and offerings, and to various different ministries. I was called to do the job currently at Generali to do this. That can be used, the tithes and offering can be used here in Hong Kong. My working with my team, you know, is to share the gospel with them. You know, God's called for a specific purpose and reason. And so he made it clear, we're here for this point in time to do this and to be in Hong Kong. And so, what do these words mean to me now? Ever since I recommit my life to God, it's everything. You know, I highlighted earlier, I mentioned to you before, submission and obedience. The first word, purpose. God has a purpose in your life, in my life. We were created for a purpose. We just need to know what it is. Secondly, you know, you gotta live in submission and obedience. And without that, truly, our lives are meaningless. We have to be submissive. You know, we gotta, you know, I highlighted. I put down, submit in obedience to him. It needs to be deliberate in an act. And you know, truthfully, we all know God is so powerful, but why don't we live this way? That's also because often we want to be in control. We want to control life. We want to control everything. But you know what? I discovered that the more I have in control, the more I lost control. And so, we got to live a life that's worthy. And I want to ask you this. Have you experienced God in your life? And I'm sure some of you have, if not all of you. Where are you putting your trust in? Being Chinese and probably family bringing up, saying, get educated, you know, find a good job, you have a good life after that. It's not about that only. Are we born, growing up as kids, go to school, work, feed the family, if you have a family, or feed yourself, then die? Absolutely not. If that's the case, Ecclesiastes will tell you it's meaningless. So in your life, is it only certain things you're giving to God? Or is it everything? And what's stopping you? So that's the end of my part in sharing with you. And I want to say, I will continue to fail. It's no doubt because of my sinful nature. But I can say that I can come to the Lord and ask forgiveness. And I need to learn to live obedient life to God. And he will cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. And so I hope that you'll find the message is encouraging to you. Because, like I said, I only shared a very small portion of what amazing thing God has done in my life. And don't underestimate our Almighty God. He can do amazing things.